Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Kuf Yud Tet Amud Bet, six lines from the bottom. Here we have a statement. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Eim Aftirin Achar Matzah Afikoman. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel makes a statement here that Matzah equates to Pesach. The same statement that we have in the Mishnah with regards to the Korban of Pesach, we are now making with regards to the Matzah itself. How far you take this, we'll discuss in a minute. Here we have an equation that says today where we don't have a Korban of Pesach, so therefore at the end of the meal, the Afikoman does not consist of Pesach, but rather of Matzah. That Matzah will have the same status as the Pesach would have in terms of this Afikoman. Tznan, our Mishnah says, Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman. Achar Pesach Hu Dolo. Only after Pesach. Our Mishnah only says after Pesach. Aval Achar Matzah Maftirin. But if it was after Matzah, I would have been totally fine. It says, Lo Mi Bayi Kamar. No, our Mishnah is telling you the more complex case, which is, Lo Mi Bayi Achar Matzah. You don't have to tell me after Matzah, Dolo Nafish Tamayu. Matzah itself doesn't have a strong residual taste. Aval Achar Pesach, the Nafish Tamei. After Pesach, which has the roasted meat, has a strong aftertaste, residual taste in your mouth. Velo Matzi Avure, and it's not easy to remove. Maybe we would think, late lamba, there's no problem with eating other things afterwards. Our Mishnah tells us, Kamash Malon, yes, there is a problem eating after Pesach. Okay, so you don't have to tell me about Matzah. Matzah, I know if I eat something, it would ruin the flavors. So that the Mishnah doesn't have to teach me about. But Pesach, where I thought maybe you could eat, despite the fact that you want to keep the flavor because the Pesach flavor stays with you. Kamash Malon, that's what the Mishnah teaches, that even by Pesach, that you can't eat afterwards. And that's why our Mishnah focuses on Pesach and not Matzah, not to come to the exclusion of Matzah, but to teach you that even by Pesach, you cannot eat. So Neima Misayile, let us say that this, right, Tosefta helps them, Asuf Ganim, donut-like items, Adub Shanim, are like Danishes, Ba'is Kritin, which are like wafer-like thin type of crackers. So all of these items do not qualify as Lechem Oni. They don't qualify to be Matzah, although they're not Chametz. One can eat them on Pesach, but they're still Lechem Ashirah, so therefore they don't qualify to be used as matzah on the night of the Seder because they're not lechemoni. So therefore, Adam memalei kristo mehen, person may eat as much of that as he wants. Vavad sheyuchal kezayit matzah b'achrona. As long as at the end he eats one kezayit of matzah of lechemoni. From this you will conclude, b'achrona in, birishana lo. In the end, yes, but prior to that point in time it wouldn't have worked. Only at the end can you eat the matzah. Had you eaten the matzah earlier on, you wouldn't have succeeded, then it wouldn't have worked. That's a proof to this position of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is that you need to eat the matzah at the end. You can't have something after it. Mar says, no, again, lo mi bayi kamar. I'm teaching you the chiddush. I didn't need to tell you about eating matzah earlier in the meal. I only have to tell you about matzah later in the meal. Lo mi bayi berishona deka achil lete avon. I don't need you to tell me about eating matzah earlier in the meal, because there you're certainly eating it with a full appetite, with gusto. So of course there, if you eat the matzah then, you would say the mitzvah. Aval b'achrona, if you're eating at the end of the meal, dilma ati lemecha l'achila gasa. We're afraid, maybe you eat all this other stuff, by the time you get to the matzah, you're going to be eating it in such a manner that it's overeating, that it's disgusting to you. And therefore, emalo, maybe you should not be able to eat it at the end of the meal. Kamash v'lon, the Tosefta teaches you that you can even eat matzah at the end. We don't worry about you eating achila gasa. We assume that you'll get it right and eat the matzah at the end properly. So again, this is not a proof to that position because we can read it otherwise. So that's the end of that little discourse, because try to bring one disproof and one proof to that statement, and we reject both of them. Now we have a memra that's just the opposite, which is Marzutra Matni Hafi. Marzutra had it as the following. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikoman. You can eat after the matzah of the meal. Unlike the Pesach, where you cannot eat it based on our Mishnah, by matzah, matzah doesn't have that same status as Pesach, and therefore you can eat after the matzah. So name a misayilate. Let's say that our Mishnah is a proof to him. What was a disproof to the previous statement now will be a proof, so let it say that it's a proof that Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman. Achar Pesach Dolo. Aval Achar Matzah Maftirin. So make the deal that we did before, that only Pesach has this problem, Matzah doesn't. And our answer is the same way we did before, which is Lo Mi Bayi Kamar. Our Mishnah is saying it's not only. Lo Mi Bayi Achar Matzah. Not only after matzah, the lofesh tameh, there for sure, but we know it doesn't have enough flavor to leave a residual taste, and if you eat something, it's going to wipe it out. Avalachar Pesach, emalo. After Pesach, I would say it has enough residual taste, flavor in it, so you could eat. Kamashmon, that you cannot eat. The same way we answered before. Meitave. Now, the Tosefta before, which is a proof to the previous statement, now will be a question, which is, Asufganim, Badubshanim, Baiskritin, these, Matzot, Ashirot, Adam, Memalei, Kresomehen, Vajiokal, Kazait, Matzah, Bachrona, as long as he eats the Matzah at the end. Bachrona in, Parishan Alo. It sounds like you have to eat at the end. You can't eat it earlier in the meal. Again, the Gemara answers the same way, Lomi Bayi Kamar. And not only, Lomi Bayi Rishona, if you eat it earlier in the meal, the Akach of the Te'avon, that you're eating it with appetite, with gusto, there for sure you would say, Avabachrona, the Akti the Mechla Achila Gasa, that there you might eat an Achilat Gasa, Emelo. Let's say that that does not work. Kamash Malon, that even eating at the end of the meal is okay. So it does not prove that you must eat at the end of the meal, it's saying that you can also eat it at the end of the meal. Right, so here we have two memorot. One memor that says matzah has the same properties as the korban at Pesach. And another one that says that matzah does not have the same properties as the Pesach. Whether matzah, you can have afikoman after it. Matzah, you cannot have afikoman after it. All the Rishonim paskin like the first Lashon. Because the first Lashon is bestamed de Gemara. The first Lashon just says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Whereas the second Lashon is Marzutra saying that that's what Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So since the first one is stamed de Gemara, that the Gemara says it without any attribution besides Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, therefore all the Rishonim paskin like the first Lashon, that im aftiring achar matzah afikoman. Now just to note that saying that matzah does not have the same din as Pesach actually is an easier stance. Tosfot points that out. He says, look, first of all, there is a difference between matzah and Pesach. Pesach has more flavor. But more importantly, depends on what you think the reason is that im aftiring achar Pesach afikoman. So for instance, we saw yesterday that the Yushalmi brings this, and the Tosafot has to quote this in the end to solve this problem, and the Ramban thinks is the reason behind why Eim Aftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman is said, Ibi Nechal Ala Sofa. It should be eaten when you are full, when you're satisfied. Why? Shalo Tishaber Atzamot, that you don't break the bones. That's something that's relevant by Pesach, that's not something that's relevant by Matzah. So you could easily see why you would think it applies by Pesach, and does not apply by Matzah. In addition, the restriction against eating a Pesach b'shtei mikomot, they may not eat in two places, that's relevant by Korban Pesach. That's not relevant by Matzah. By Matzah, we don't find any restriction against eating in two different locations. So it would make a lot of sense against to say, in Maftarin Achar Pesach afikoman, and not to say that by the Matzah. The only one that works in both places is the issue of flavor, which is that if you want the residual flavor to be in your mouth, then you could say by Pesach and by Matzah that you should have the residual flavor in your mouth. Again, like the Rambam, who says the whole reason to have it in your mouth is because it's a mitzvah to do that. Okay, then it applies maybe equally to Pesach as it does to Matzah. But of course, according to most of the Rishonim that we saw yesterday, it's not so clear or easy to say that just because it says it by Pesach, therefore it says it by Matzah. But we do pass in that way. The conclusion is that whatever is said by Pesach is said by Matzah. The Rishonim say that it's done because of Matzah now functioning like Pesach. It becomes the substitute, or we'll see in a second what exactly that means, but because of the Matzah functioning as the replacement for the Korban HaPesach, it takes on the trappings of a Korban HaPesach, even though it's not really relevant to it. How far you take that is actually almost all the Rishonim say that Matzah equals Pesach here, when we're talking about Im Aftirin Achar HaMatzah Afikoman. The one exception is Tosafot. Tosafot says that Matzah does not exactly eat Pesach, and he says, Davko BePesach. Aval, Matzah lo ashkan b'shum duchka delitzar b'shtei mikamot. Says in the end, even though Matzah equals Pesach and Im Aftirin Achar HaMatzah Afikoman, that's as far as the flavor and the taste in your mouth that you can't eat things afterwards. But with regards to not eating in two places, you can eat matzah in two places. No problem. You don't have to worry about it. You worry about Pesach, but by matzah you don't have to worry about it. So Tosafot is the one that really, he says, don't take it so far. Okay, yes, matzah, you can't eat things afterwards, but the issue of eating in two different places, That's not relevant. And he says that Vade Rav lo Ariel bePesach. Rav said you can't call me Chabura la Chabura. He's only talking about Pesach, not talking about Matzah. In addition to that, there is a machloket Rishonim here as to which is the Matzah that you eat to be Yotzei de Chova. Which Matzah do you eat in the meal that is the Matzah Chova? And what does that Matzah represent? The Rashbam is unequivocal. He says it twice or three times that the Matzah you eat at the end of the meal is Matzah Chova. The Afikoman that we call the Afikoman today is Matzah Chova. The obvious question jumps out right away. What do you mean? By motzi matzah, we make the bracha and we make alechilat matzah then. He says that's based on Rav Chista's shita that we saw before with regards to maror and karpas. If you don't have any other vegetable for maror, Rav Chista says you make the bracha of alechilat maror on karpas, even though the ikar mitzvah of maror is later on in the meal, later on in the seder at the time of maror. Why? How could Adam be mamalei kreis so mimenu? Fill up your belly with this item, and then you make the bracha on it. Doesn't make sense. So you can't say achilat maror after you just ate a ton of maror. Same thing here, the Rishpam says. You can't eat a bunch of matzah and then say achilat matzah at the end of the meal. So because you're forced to say it earlier, because you need matzah earlier, because you're starting the suda. The suda needs lechem mishneh or needs lechem to start it. And so because of that, you're going to eat matzah earlier in the meal. Since you're going to eat your matzah earlier in the meal, therefore you make achilat matzah. But the true Matzat Chova is at the end of the meal. That's where you have Matzat Chova. And he's soter himself. In one place, the Rashbam says that the Matzah at the end represents the Matzah that was eaten together with the Korban HaPesach. So the Matzah in the end, why is it Matzat Chova? Because when the Korban Pesach was here, you ate Matzah along with the Korban Pesach. Correct. The equivalent of what on Matzot Marim, your Chlua would have been. So this is zecher to that matzah. So therefore, that matzah is the matzah tchova because it represents the kricha, the matzah that you would use in kricha. That's what he says in one place. The other place he says that the matzah at the end of the meal is zecher the korban pesach itself. So he's soter himself about both places. He says matzah achrona is chova. One place he says it represents the matzah that went together with the pesach. The other place he says it's the matzah that was or represents the korban pesach. That's the Rashbam. On the other hand, Tosafot here disagrees, and the Rosh takes up the position of the Tosafot as well, who says that Ikar Matzah is the Matzah Berishona. The Ikar Matzah is the one that you eat earlier in the meal. And the reason for that is because it says, Tov lo lechol matzah b'tchila l'te'avon. Where do you eat the matzah with te'avon? The whole point of not eating on Erev Pesach, the whole point of not eating matzah on Erev Pesach is so that you eat matzah with te'avon. Right, the matzah mitzvah makes sense that that's the first matzah that you eat, not the matzah you eat at the end. That makes sense you do in the beginning, because that's where you have all your appetite, that's where you're gung-ho for it. It says for sure that that's the ikar mitzvah, or the varechala. That's to have the idea of zecher, the carbon pesach, to have the taste in your mouth. That's just the zecher, not the ikar mitzvah. The ikar mitzvah is at the beginning of the meal. Now, according to the Rashbam, you do have a serious question as to why at the end of the meal you don't eat matzah, you don't do hillel. Why don't you do the kricha or the korech at the end of the meal? And if the whole idea, that's the matzah chova, then all the obligations should shift to the back end of the meal, which we don't do. That's a serious issue for the Rashbam. Right? On the other hand, for the Tosafot, who thinks that the Ikar is in the beginning, the harder part is why aim after in achar matzah afikoman, because, alright, it's zecher. That's right, so it's zecher ba'awa. Right, it doesn't have to be, right, exactly. It doesn't have to be so much like the Karban Pesach, but we see that all the Rishonim do take it up and equate it to matzah. Alright, that's the important thing. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Achar afikaman in the chol shum davar, you're not allowed to eat anything. Now that was already subject to a machloket Rishonim as to what you can and cannot have after the matzah, after a korban pesach. According to the Rif and all the Geonim, you cannot have anything after the matzah. You cannot eat after it, and you cannot drink after it, except for water. You want a little water? That you can have after the matzah or the korban pesach. Anything else? Anything else you can't have. Now, the Rishonim, the Ramban, who defends the position of the Rif, says, why is this the case? Certainly not because of the flavor in your mouth. You already just had two cups of wine. Yeah, the third cup and the fourth cup. So of course that's not the reason why you can't drink afterwards. So what is the reason you can't drink afterwards? So Ramban says the reason you can't drink afterwards is because it looks like you're about to start a new set of Arba Kosot and a new Seder. Looks like you're out. 4 cups are what you're supposed to drink. Now you drink an extra cup. All right, they let you do a 5th cup, a halal gadol, if you really need it. But after that, anything that's not associated with the Seder, looks like you're starting the Seder over. Looks like you're doing it again. And that's the Yisur of maybe Shnei Mekomot. It's not proper to start drinking again after the Seder. That's what the Ramban claims. Therefore, you can't drink afterwards, at least things that are qualified for the Arba Kosot. That's the position of the Ramban. Others like Balamor believe that the restriction here is only eating. All the items that we mentioned here were just problems of eating. Drinking? You can drink after the matzah, after the Korban HaPesach. Now, between the 3rd cup and the 4th cup, you may not drink. That the Yerushalmi already says, and we have in our Mishnah. Between the 3rd and 4th cup, you can't drink. The Yerushalmi says, why? Shalot tishtaker, so you don't get drunk and don't finish off the halal. Don't finish off the halal. That, once you finish the halal, the Balamor says, get drunk. What's the difference afterwards? Once you finish the halal, being drunk is not preventative in any way. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't ruin the night. Correct. Well, that's what it means here. Drinking, right? Well, already the Rif already said non-wine. You know what I mean? Like water would be okay. So the Balamor says, but no, after the 4th cup, you want to drink? Go ahead. Have a great night. That's the Balamor's position. There are others like the Rosh quotes this in the Ram. There's a problem with drinking after the 4th cup because you have a chiyuv of the Sapra of Yitzhak Mitzrayim called Alayva. The obligation doesn't end at the end of the Seder. The obligation is to stay up at night and continue to darshan Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So there is a problem if you get drunk. There is a problem if you go to sleep. If you're overcome by sleep, then that's one thing. But if you drink and you get drunk and then you don't do the Sapra Yitzhak Mitzrayim called Alayva, then you're begeder mazid then. And you can't do that. And so that's the restriction against drinking afterwards. So here when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Halacha, it says, doesn't mention any exceptions to the rule. And then the Rama himself, who quotes all the comment he makes is, lo yechlenu b'shnei mekomot. He adds on against the Tosafot and says that applies to mekomot, applies to matzah, like applies to Korban HaPesach. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the Mishonim argue about the ability to drink afterwards. He says, mistimat ha-shulchan aruch and Rama, it seems like they believe like the opinion that you may not drink anything afterwards. It says, v'yesh lachmir b'mashkeh d'mishakir. Verse says, for sure, something that is intoxicating, you for sure should not drink, because that everybody agrees, except for the Balamor, that it's a problem. U'lechadchila, nachon lizeir, mipol mashkeh, chutz mimayim. Chadchila, you should not drink anything, excluding water. That's the Rif and the Gaonim. In that category, he says, mikol makom chadvu achronim, that included in water is the ingerbar, vaser, ginger water, and huadin, teh, apple trunk, wait, apple drink or apple trunk with some sort of apple cider. There he afterwards says maybe not, maybe it's too strong, but he says those things have a status like water. So water is a broader category according to the Achronim, but he does conclude in the end, become makom, but makom tzarech godol, yesh tismoch al sevar rishona, v'atir lo lishtot shar mashim she'in mashakrin. Then you can rely on those things. As long as they're not intoxicating, you can rely on the opinions. I'd say you can drink anything besides intoxicating beverages like the Ramban and those that believe that the Rif is just saying you can't start up with something that's either the 4th cup or Chemar Medina because it looks like you're having a 5th coast or 6th coast that you can't do. But otherwise you can drink anything. So with Machan Tzarek Adol you can do that. But otherwise you should only drink things like maybe water and tea. And even that's not perfect, but according to most you could have that. And therefore it would be permissible. Correct. Everybody believes you can have water. The way the Rif and the Gonim stated is, if he's desperately thirsty, he can have water. They're not saying that the Chathili should go and drink water. They're just saying, if he's necessary, and so necessary, he can go drink water afterwards. Alright, so that's with regards to this. Yesterday we dealt with the reasons behind Eim Aftirim Rachar Pesach HaVikoman, according to all the Rishonim, so I'm not going to repeat that again. Just wanted to get the other tell in. Now we move into the next piece of the Gemara, which is Amarova. Matzah b'zman hazeh d'oraita u'maror d'rabanan. Matzah today has a din d'oraita, whereas maror is only a din d'rabanan. U'mayishna maror d'chtiv. Why is maror d'rabanan? We know, of course, why it's d'rabanan, because it says, amatzot u'marorim yochalu. Because you eat the maror together with the korban ha-pesach. M'zman d'yika pesach ish maror. You have pesach, you have maror. M'zman d'leka pesach, you don't have a pesach, you don't have maror. So it's obvious why you don't have maror. But matzah, nami. Matzah has the same source for a pasuk, which is matzot umrorim yuchlu. So if that's the case, then aktiv amatzot umrorim yuchlu, matzah nami aktiv amatzot umrorim yuchlu, and therefore matzah should also be bizman di ika pesach ika matzah, zman di leka pesach leka matzah. It says, no, matzah mehadar hadar beikra. There's an extra pasuk by matzah, and that extra pasuk makes it there's an obligation of matzah independent of Pesach, and that is be'erev tochlu matzot. On the night, you should eat matzot. Now, be sure, I mentioned this earlier in Masechta, I said now I have to finally address it, which is, be'erev tochlu matzot is a pasuk that really does not exist, which is the Gemara here says that there's a tzivui in the Torah that says, at night, you must eat matzot, and the night referring to the first night of Pesach, and that's the sole night that you must eat matzot. I read you the pasuk that is the source for this, which is in Shmot Yud Bet, Barishon, in the first month, Barbasa Yom Nachodesh Ba'erif, on the 14th of the month at night, Tochlu Matzot, you shall eat Matzot, Ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim Nachodesh Ba'erif, until the 21st of the month at night. So you tell me what's different between the first one and the second Erif. It says in the first one, on the 14th at night, Tochlu Matzot, and on the 21st at night, Tochlu Matzot. There's no difference between the 14th of the night and the 21st at night. It's just telling you the duration of the mitzvah matzah. It's telling you that from the night of the 14th, meaning post-14th, the 15th, until the 21st at night, you must eat matzah. That means all 7 days you must eat matzah, not the first night. They reparse the pasuk to say, ba'abasar, ba'erev tochlu matzot. That's a tzivoy. Then it's reading the pasuk out of context and making it into a tzivoy. It doesn't really exist. Because as I said, it made it into a tzivoy, which is very difficult. Why is this very difficult? We'll finish up the piece and I'll explain more about it, but because there's about 12 psukim in the Torah that say explicitly, Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot. That you must eat matzah for 7 days. All of a sudden we come here and have a made up tzivoy that says, okay, only on the first night. Why don't you quote the other 12 places where it says, Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot. And then you have a tzivoy to eat matzot, independent of Karmana Pesach. So why does the Gemara do this? And that we have to explain. I'll come back at the end of the Mishnah and we'll discuss it again. Both Maror and Matzah, Bezman HaZeh, are Derabbanan because they are both associated with the Korban HaPesach. What is he going to do with Erev Tochlu Matzot? It's a little funny only because he's really reading the Psukim Alapshat, which is that Matzah and Maror should have the same din. I mean, true, it could be that Matzah should be Chayav to eat all 7 days. But if you're going to say there's only an obligation of matzah at night, it should have the same din of maror, because al matzot morim yochlu. Be'erev tochlu matzot is not really a tzivoy. Yeah, the Gemara is now challenging him, saying, what are you going to do with that? He says, how am we by the tamei shayab b'derech rochel gad? That comes to teach you that a tamei, and a hayab b'derech rochel gad, who's going to bring a Pesach sheni, still has to eat matzot as part of the seder on the Pesach Rishon. The sacha datcha, I mean, I would have thought, came to Pesach lo achle, since they don't participate in the Pesach that night, matzo maror nami lo nechol. They shouldn't eat the matzah maror, they'll eat it together with their Pesach and Pesach Sheni. Kamash Malon, that even though they're not eating Korban Pesach, they do eat matzah maror.
But you're saying that during the time of the Korban Pesach, even if you're not eating Korban Pesach, you still have the right obligation to eat the matzah.
Right, so that's the idea of a kosher, omed lebilo, anything that can be mixed, ain't bilo me'akevipo. Meaning that as long as you could have brought in a Korban Pesach, then you'll bring Korban Pesach, makes it chayav, deraita in matzah. If there's no possibility of a Korban Pesach, then Matzah and Maror fall by the wayside. So in the time where the Tamei and Derech Chol can't bring a Korban Pesach, but everybody else is bringing it, that makes it into an obligation of Doraita, even though they particularly can't eat it together with a Pesach. That's what he's saying. He's associating it with the time of Korban Pesach when others are bringing Korban Pesach, but not necessarily you in particular. Rava Amar Lecha, Tamei Sheav Derech Chol Chad Lo Tzarich Kra. I don't need a Pesach for that. The lo gari ma'arelu ben nechar. They're no worse than an arelu ben nechar, the Tanya. Kol arel lo yochal bo. No arel may eat in it. It is bo eno echal. The Korban Pesach you may not eat. Aval ma'alchal ba matzah maror. But there is an obligation to eat matzah maror. So even though the arel and ben nechar don't eat the Korban Pesach, but that's the only thing they're precluded from. They can't eat matzah umaror. V'idach, what's our Bachar B'Yakov going to do with that? Why can't he extrapolate from that Pesach as well? Says, Ktivai, Ktivai, I need two psukim. Vitzrichi, I need both of them. Because if you taught me by Arel and Ben Nechar, I would say by Arel and Ben Nechar, the reason they eat Matzah Maror on the first Pesach is because they're not going to bring a Pesach Sheni. They're out. They're out of Pesach totally. They won't bring Pesach Rishon, they won't bring Pesach Sheni. So they may as well eat their Matzah Maror on the first Pesach when everybody else is eating it. On the other hand, the Tamei and Derech Rechoka, even though they're not going to eat Pesach Rishon, they will eat Pesach Sheni. So they have a chance to do Matzah Maror and Pesach Sheni. So maybe they should wait and to do it until Pesach Sheni. But no, that's what the puzzle comes to. Don't do that. Eat Matzah Maror even by Pesach Rishon. Tanya Kavoti the Rova. We have a bright that supports Rova. And now this digs us even deeper into the problem. This is from the Psukim in Re'eh, in Parshat Re'eh. It says, Sheshet Yamim Tochal Matzot. 6 days you must eat matzot. Uviyom HaShvi Atzeret L'Shem L'Kech. On the seventh day, it's Atzeret. Atzeret means that there's an Isra Melacha on the seventh day, which is true by Pesach. The seventh day is a Yom Tov. Mashvi'i Rishut, Av Sheshet Yamim Rishut. Just like the seventh day is optional, so too the 6 days are optional. Gemara is concluding here that the Torah in Parshat Re'eh says you only have to eat matzah for 6 days, as opposed to all the other places in the Torah where it says 7 days you must eat the matzah. Here it says 6 days. Their conclusion is there's only an obligation to eat for 6 days. The seventh day is optional, reshut. And therefore, just like the 7 days are reshut, so too the other 6 days are reshut. My time, Davar Sheya Bichlal, that's what you say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning. It's something that was part of a general principle. V'yatzah min haklal lelamed. So when it leaves that principle, that grouping, it comes out to teach something. Lo lamed al atzmo yatzah. Not just itself does it come to teach. Lo lamed al haklal kulo yatzah. It comes to teach about the entire principle. So here, the seventh day used to be part of all the other days. Every time we have this in the Torah, it says 7 days. Now you dropped it out. Why did you drop it out and say six now? Because the seventh day is optional. Well, since it's optional, it teaches you something about the 7 days. 7 days optional. But since it was a part of the grouping originally and now it dropped out, it teaches not only that it is optional, but the other 6 days are also optional. Yochel af laila rishon rishut. I would think even the first night is also optional. Tamal omar amotzot marim yochlu. So that says, Matzot Marim, you must eat it. Okay, that takes care of it when the Beit HaMikdash is there as Pesach. Now I know that Matzah Maror is a chiyuv on the first night. But Bezman Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, when there is no Beit HaMikdash, how do you know that Matzah on the first night is an obligation? From the Penayin, Tamad Omar, Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, Katuv, Kobo, Chova. Then Bright is supporting Rava's position that the Pasuk, Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, teaches you that Matzah is an obligation on the first night, irrespective of whether you have a Korban Pesach or not. So here you have another pasuk, again, taken completely out of context. If I read you the pasukim in Parshat Re'eh, you'd be shocked to hear that the Gemara thinks that Sheshet Yamim means that you only eat matzah for 6 days. Because the pasukim there, first of all, by the way, say explicitly that there's 7 days in the beginning there. 7 days. But in Re'eh it says that you bring the Korban HaPesach. Shalta v'chalta b'makom asher yivchar Hashem l'kecha bo. You'll cook and eat the Korban HaPesach in the place that Hashem chooses. Ufanita b'boker. In the morning you'll get up, v'alachta lo'olecha, and you go back home. Sheshet yamim tochal matzot. 6 days you'll eat matzot, uviyom ha'shvi'i atzeret l'Hashem l'kecha, lo tase melacha. 6 days you'll eat matzot, the seventh day will be in atzeret, and you won't do melacha. What's the pashtut of pasuk here? Why are there only 6 days of eating matzah? Because how did it start? The pasuk before ended, that after you bring the korban pesach, ufanita baboker v'alachta lo'olecha, you're going to go home. The first day was covered already. First day is covered by the bringing of the korban pesach. That's the first day. Then you have 6 days left, and on the 6 days you're going to eat matzah. That's malacha. That has nothing to do with matzah. That's malacha. There's only Isra malacha on the seventh day. Right, meaning that you had 1 day plus six, and seven is the totality of the one plus the six. Sadragon, the Chizkuni, and the Ebn Ezra all read the pasuk that way. And they say that the pashtut, the pasuk, is this way. And on top of that, most of the Rishonim don't believe that, quote-unquote, the Gemara is right here. In the Morah Nevuchim, the Rambam writes that the obligation to eat matzah is for 7 days. The Gra on the Maaseh Rav says the Iker mitzvah is to eat matzah for 7 days. Now, the Gra, first he makes a statement that you eat matzah for 7 days. Then afterwards, he makes the distinction that the first time night is a chovah, the rest is a mitzvah ki you meet. The Gra sounds like 7 days. More importantly, the Gemara itself compares this din to the din of Sukkah. And by the din of Sukkah, Din of Sukkah is that you're obligated from Tedvav to eat in the Sukkah on the first night of Sukkot. The remainder of Sukkot, it's optional whether you sleep in the, eat in the Sukkah. If you want to eat a meal, you have to eat in the Sukkah. If you don't want to eat a meal, you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. The Balamur, right here, asks a very strong question. He goes, I don't understand. How come by Sukkah, if the obligation is on the first night, the rest is optional, we make a bracha every time we go in the Sukkah? Make a bracha when you eat on the first night, you make a bracha when you eat on the third night. But when it comes to matzah, you only make a bracha of alichilat matzah on the first night. The other nights that are optional, we don't make any bracha of alichilat matzah. What happened to the bracha? How come there's a difference? They're set up in the exact same way. Why is there a difference? So the Baal HaMor gives a technical answer. His technical answer is that you can't go 7 days without going in the sukkah. You can't go 7 days without eating matzah. Because you can make a choice not to eat after the first night. You can make a choice never to have matzah. It's a little hard because you need to have a motzi for Shabbat and you have to have it for Yom Tov Sheni. Although in the Gemara that's okay because you can have lechem hashira, which the Gemara, we don't do that today, but you could have lechem hashira and you would maybe solve that problem. But he says, basically, after the first night, you don't have to eat matzah, you don't have to deal with matzah at all. By sukkah, that's not the case. By sukkah, there's an obligation to sleep in the sukkah. And since a person can't go without 3 days without sleeping, by definition, he will sleep in the sukkah. Since he must enter the sukkah, must do the mitzvah of sukkah, therefore there's a bracha associated with it. That's the answer of the Baal HaMor as to why there's a difference between sukkah and matzah. Interesting answer. It's difficult. It's not so simple. But already, you see the Baal HaMor already toying with this issue as to why is matzah and sukkah different? And the truth is, are they really different? So the answer might be no. I won't solve the problem of bracha necessarily, but Rav Salmon over here said an important principle. I think it's an amazing idea, and deals with this chazal, the difficulty of this chazal, as to why the first night's an obligation, and they drop all the psukim in the Torah that say 7 days an obligation, when it really is an obligation. Seems to be truly, according to many of the Rishonim, there is a 7 day obligation to eat matzah. The answer is that, just like on Sukkot, the idea is to leave your house and live in the sukkah. That's the concept. The concept is, you don't live in your house anymore, you live in the sukkah. Same is true by Pesach, it's to leave chametz, whereas you used to eat meals of chametz, now you're going to eat meals of matzah. The same way like your sukkah replaces your house, so it's over here, your matzah replaces your bread. Bread being the basic component of any meal, we know that in Chazal, they washed and they ate bread every meal that they ate at, so that's a basic component of meal, you're switching the bread for matzah. I'm not going to get into it. He spoke about, there's a thesis here that Mitzrayim was the place for bread, they made all types of bread, and they were famous for their breads. Okay, so that would give you a reason why the Torah would say matzah, not bread. But leaving that aside, the idea is simple. It's simple and similar. Which is that whenever you wanted to have chametz, you're going to have matzah. Whenever you wanted to live in your house, you're going to live in the sukkah. So yes, there's an obligation on the first night. The remaining nights is optional. But why is it optional, the remaining nights? But he says something very simple. The idea is to move out of your house into the sukkah. Now, if you didn't move out of your house into the sukkah on the first night, how would you know that you started this 7 day period when you're living in the sukkah and not in your house? If the idea is to switch out the chametz for matzah, if you didn't eat matzah the first night, how do you know that you began that 7 day period where you're switching it out? Therefore, on the first night, there's an obligation to eat it because the obligation is that you have no choice. You must go into the sukkah on the first night and you must eat matzah on the first night because that's what delineates the beginning of the time where you're going to move from your house into the sukkah. The remainder of Sukkot, okay, if you don't need to be in the sukkah, if you're not eating something in the sukkah, then you don't have to go into the sukkah. The truth is that it's really a mitzvah to be in the sukkah, and you should be eating the sukkah. You should not be avoiding going into the sukkah. It's a mitzvah for 7 days to be in the sukkah, and you accomplish a mitzvah. It's not obligatory in the sense that if you don't do it, then we don't know it's 7 days of living in the sukkah. No, it has to do with what you're eating and how you're setting up your days and so on and so forth. Probably improper to block or not do things that don't let you go in the sukkah or don't have to go into the sukkah. It's against the spirit of the idea. But you move from your house into the sukkah. Same with matzah. Matzah, the remainder of Pesach, you don't need to eat matzah. You should be eating matzah. That's what the Gra says. You should be eating matzah the remainder of Pesach. It's not an obligation because you already set this aside as 7 days of matzah by eating matzah, the obligatory matzah on the first night. Remainder of Sukkot and the remainder of Pesach, the only obligation is that when you would normally do something that you would do in your house, you do it in the sukkah. When you would normally eat bread, you eat matzah. If you don't eat bread, you don't eat the matzah. If you didn't go into your house, you wouldn't need to go into the sukkah. That you can't do on the first night. Because if we left that optional on the first night, you would never ever get that delineation done. So the first night is obligatory. The remainder is you have to do this transfer of living in the house to the sukkah or eating matzah instead of bread any time that you would have otherwise been in the house or eating chametz.
But we'll be true now, and now it's an amazing thing. Is that, how do you know that you ended that 7 day period? So by Sukkot, it would mean that after the 7 days, you would move into the house and be obligated to go into the house. Exactly what happens on Shemini Atzeret. Shemini Atzeret, you're not allowed to eat in the Sukkah. It's not optional. You must eat in the house on Shemini Atzeret because that delineates the back end of Sukkot. So the obligation is to eat in the Sukkah on the first night and in the house on the night after Sukkot to give you the 7 day period that you're living in the Sukkah. Same is true with Matzah. The obligation is to eat matzah, the obligatory matzah, on the night of Pesach. It runs you into a little problem on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach has a little problem because you stop eating chametz earlier in the day because of the Karban of Pesach. So what did Chazal do to stop that problem? You can't eat chametz, but you also can't eat matzah. If you were able to eat matzah on Erev Pesach instead of the chametz, then the period would start earlier. So how do they stop that? They say no matzah, no chametz. Nothing before Pesach. On the back end, what's the minhag agra? I mean, a grah is, I'm going to say, Pesach.
Go out for a pizza shop.
Pizza.
Yeah, get bagels, pizza, make havdalah on beer. He would eat chametz right away to delineate it on the other side to show that that's the zman of chametz and not matzah. So it's exactly why this turns out. It really is, Chazal really believe, and that's the pashtut of psukim, 7 days obligation of matzah. Just this insistent obligation where you can't get away from, you can't do anything to get out of it. That's true on the first night, because there you have to delineate the 7 days. So now we have a Mishnah. Yoshnu miksatan. If a portion of the people at the Seder fall asleep, yochlu, then they can continue eating. Kulan, if they all fall asleep, lo yochlu, then they cannot continue eating. Biyosi Amer, Biyosi says, nit nam nimu, if they doze off, yochlu, they can continue. Nirjamu, lo yochlu. They completely fell asleep, then they can't eat. Now, Rabbi Yossi could be read in one of two ways. Rabbi Yossi could be modifying the ratio or modifying the seifa. The Rishbam says he's modifying the ratio, which means it's the chumrah. That when he says that when you fall asleep, a portion of the people fall asleep, that they can continue the meal, that's only if they dozed off. But if they fell into a deep sleep, even if others are up at the meal, they can't continue. They're out. So that's the way the Rishbam reads it. Whereas the Rabbeinu David and the Rambam read it the other way, which is that he's modifying the Seifa. He's the Kula. And in the Seifa, when it says that everybody fell asleep, you cannot continue the meal, that's only if everybody fell into a deep sleep. But if they simply dozed off, then you're permitted to continue the meal. Then, a Pesach achar chatzot, mitamei et yadayim. Pesach after midnight is mitamei yadayim, implying that there is an Isur of Notar already after chatzot. A pigo and notar mitamei yadayim. Here's the answer. This is a broader statement, which is pigo and notar are mitamei yadayim, and that's why Pesach hachatzot is mitamei yadayim. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, nit nam nimu yochlu, that if they doze off, they can eat it. Nir demu lo yochlu, if they fall into a deep slumber, you can't eat it. Heichi dami nit nam nim. What is called dozing off? Amar Ravashi, nim velo nim, means that he's asleep, but he's not asleep. Tir velo tir, he's awake, but he's not awake. Higon. The Kari Levani, if you ask him questions or simple questions, he'll answer, what's your name? He'll answer you still, and he's half asleep. Velo yadala dure svaro. If you ask him, where does this keli belong? Where does it go? Where in the house? That he won't remember. But if you tell him, it doesn't belong over there, he'll go, yeah, Midgar. He remembers. Abaye, havayotiv kamei de Rabo. Abaye was sitting in front of Rabo. Chazadikan namne, he saw that Rabo was dozing off. Amale, minom kanai mar. He says, are you dozing off? Amalei, minom ka minamnim. I am dozing off. It's not. And our Mishnah says, nit namnimu yochlu. If you doze off, you can continue eating. Nir demu lo yochlu. If you go into a slumber, then you may not continue. So the way the Rashbam reads this, the Rashbam says, here's a proof that, number one, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi because here, Rabba was dozing off, and Abai says to him, are you dozing off? And he says, I'm dozing off, that's why it's okay. Had I fallen to sleep, then it would have been a problem. So that's like Rabbi Yossi. Number two is, it's like Rabbi Yossi that's modifying the reisha, because here, Rabba is with Abaye. Despite being with Abaye, he says if he fell into a deep slumber, he would have been out. That's the way the Rashbam reads the modification of Rabbi Yossi, the Chumrah, on the Reisha. So from here to here, the Rashbam proves the Loch is like Rabbi Yossi, and it's modifying the Reisha, and it's the Chumrah. So now many people take issue with the Rashbam. The first assumption of the Rashbam is that Matzah and Pesach have the same din over here. So first of all, the Balamor, the Ravid, the Tosafot, all believe that Matzah and Pesach have a different din. Matzah and Pesach do not have the same din. If you fall asleep when you're eating the Karman of Pesach, you cannot continue. When you fall asleep with Matzah, you can continue. The Balamor points out that Vadai Dafka B'Pesach. But what are you going to do with Abaye and Rabbo? The Rashbam has a good point that Abaye and Rabbo is a proof. He says Abaye and Rabbo wasn't on Pesach. Where do you see anything about Pesach in Abaye and Rabbo's story? That was talking about on Tanit. It was the night before a fast day. And if you fall asleep the night before a fast day, it's as if you started the fast because you're going to wake up the next morning. You're Mesiach died from eating. Wake up the next morning, you're right into the fast. So they were talking about, the Bai and Rabba were discussing whether Rabba already started the fast when he dozed off or he fell asleep. So why is it brought here? It's brought here to teach you about dozing off versus falling into a slumber. Not to teach you about the same din that Matzah equals Pesach because it's not about Matzah. So that's how the Balamor disagrees with the Rashbam. It says, first of all, it's not talking about matzah. Number two is matzah doesn't have the same din as Pesach. Matzah, if you fall asleep, you can continue. The Rambam agrees with the Rashbam that matzah and Pesach have the same din. He just disagrees and says that Rabbi Yossi is modifying the Seifa, and therefore Rabbi Yossi is the Kula. And the Rabbeinu David says something similar. The Raibad says, there's a difference between Pesach and Matzah, because Heslach Adat by Pesach is Posel the Karban. That's why when you fall asleep by a Pesach, you can't continue. On the other hand, when you fall asleep during the meal, the Heslach Adat doesn't affect your ability to continue the meal, it affects your Netilat Yadayim. So all you have to do is make a new Netilat Yadayim, a new Amotzi, and you can continue the meal. So the Raibad says Matzah and Pesach are not similar. Then the Ran points out, the proof here from Abai and Rabba right now may not really be a proof, because who says Abai was eating at the meal? The Ran says Abai was a Talmud of Rabba. He might have already finished his Seder, and he was coming over to visit his Rebbe, Rabba. We don't have no evidence here that Abai was eating. And therefore, the Rashbam's proof that Halach is like Rabbi Yossi and he's modifying the ratio is not true. It might have been that Rabba was eating alone. And he was eating alone, and then he was mitnamnim. So, might be matzah is the same din as Pesach, and then he brings the Balamor who says that it's referring to Shalom, he says it's referring to the Tanit and not to matzah. But, as far as being a proof that Rabbi Yossi is modifying the ratio, not the safe, but it's definitely not that proof, because Abai may not have been eating at that meal, and Rabbi might have been alone. If he's alone, then Rabbi Yossi's din applies. It gotta be the safe, not the ratio, because there's nobody else there to have him continue the meal. Now the Gemara says, "A Pesach achar chatzot mitameh yadayim, alma mechatzot tavelei notar." What you would conclude from our Mishnah is that after chatzot, the carbon Pesach is notar. Man tana, who's the tana that believes that the carbon of Pesach becomes notar at midnight? Rav Yosef, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That's the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya. It says here by the requirement to eat the korban of Pesach that you must eat it this night. And it says by Makat Bechorot, Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeh, I will pass through Mitzrayim on this night. There when it talks about Hashem passing through Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeh means until midnight or at midnight. Avkan ad Chatzot, so too by the korban of Pesach, you may only eat it until Chatzot. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, hello, var nemar b'chipazon, that you have to eat the korban of Pesach b'chipazon. What does that mean? You have to eat it in a way that is rushed, in a way that's ready to leave. Ad shat chipazon. You're permitted to eat it until the time that it's time to leave. When is it time to leave? Alot teshachar. Because Hashem tells them they may not leave their houses at aboker until the morning. And also you don't go traveling at night. You travel once it gets light in the morning. So when was the time that the Pesach expires? It expires at the time that the chipazon begins, the time to leave begins. Imkein matom lomar balayla. Then what are you going to do with the pasuk of balayla hazeh? What's he going to do balayla? So he says, yochol yehinechal kodeshim bayom. You would think the korban pesach is like other kodeshim, that on the day that you shecht it, you can eat it. Tom lomar balayla. Balayla hu nechal, venu nechal bayom. It's eaten at night, not during the day. Meaning that the korban pesach, even though it's brought on the 14th during the day, unlike other korbanot where you could eat it immediately that day and then into the subsequent night, korban Pesach you can only eat at night. You cannot eat it during the day of its shechita. And that's what Balayla teaches you. What does he do with the word hazeh? So it comes to exclude another night. Why? I would have thought, whole Pesach kodshim kalim, since Pesach are kodshim kalim, vishlamim kodshim kalim, and shlamim are also kodshim kalim. Just like shlamim are eaten for 2 days and one night. Okay, Pesach, you can't eat during the day, so I'll swap out the nights for the days. We'll be eating for the 2 nights and the day in between. Now Rashi, in other places in Shas, says it'll be eaten at the 2 nights and you'll take a break in the day and you won't eat it. The Rashbam says no. That's not the way to eat it. Literally, you could eat that night, the next day, and then the following night. You can eat through that whole period of time. To teach you only on that first night, but not on the second night. It doesn't function like a normal shlamim. The Mordechai asks, why doesn't the Gemara over here compare it to a Todah or an El Nazir? Todah and El Nazir are also Kodshim Kalim, and therefore one day and one night. The day of Shechita in the night. And if you say Balayla, it would only been that night, and you would have been fine. Then you wouldn't have any questions about it. He says, the reason that Mark compares it to a Shlamim is because a Motar Pesach is a Shlamim. Motar Pesach, a leftover Pesach is a Shlamim. So in the end, a Pesach is really a modified Shlamim. And that's why the Gemara compares it to a Shlamim to say that just like the Shlamim is 2 days and one night, so too the Pesach should be 2 nights and one day. Halayla Hazeh, this night comes to teach you only 1 night and no more than that. That he can learn that out from Lo Tutir Menu Ad Boker, that you can't eat it past that first night. Because in the morning, you can't eat it any longer. The Torah not said Azeh. Havamina, my boker. What does the boker here mean? Boker sheni, the second morning, which is lo tutimenu ad boker. And then we have the subsequent part of the pasuk, which is v'notarmi menu ad boker beish tisareifu, that whatever is left over until the morning that has to be burnt. So that we learned earlier in the Masechta means boker sheni, the second morning. You only burn it on the morning of the 16th, on the morning of the 15th. So Rabbi Akiva says the first boker also you might have thought was the 16th. Don't leave it over to the morning of the 16th. Just like you burn it on the morning of the 16th. Whenever you have the word boker, boker means stam, the first morning. Unless it specifies otherwise, boker means boker rishon. All right, so now, in terms of this Gemara, first of all, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what does he do with the issue of Chipazon? So the Rashbam explains over here that he thinks that the Chipazon is not referring to Bnei Israel, but to Mitzrayim. The Chipazon is not leaving in the morning, wait, out of Boker, and then you can go out. The Chipazon is of the Mitzrayim to chase Bnei Israel out. And that's right at midnight. At midnight, after all the Bechorot die, the Mitzrayim come out, and they try to push Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. Okay, leave. It's time to go. So the Chipazon is that of the Mitzrayim rushing the Jews out, not of the Jews rushing to leave. And that's how he answers that Chipazon is also at Chatzot. In addition, Tosafot over here points out that it seems like we pass an halacha to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because we have a Stam Mishnah here that follows the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says, but don't conclude that, because we have other Mishnayot, like in the Gemara Megillah, that make it sound like the Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, that you can eat it all night. And therefore, it's inconclusive, just because you have a Stam Mishnah here, that Korban HaPesach only goes until midnight. He also discusses the regards to the first Mishnah in Brachot. First Mishnah in Brachot says that any Korban that is for Yom V'Layla, because one day and one night, then even though it's permitted until Lo Teshachar, the Chachamim asu Seyag, and pushed it back to Chatzot. They pushed it back to midnight, and the cutoff is at midnight, you can't eat after midnight that Korban. Why? To stop a person from getting close to an Aveira. So even according to Rabbi Akiva, Midrabanan, Chatzot is the cutoff. So Tosafot says two things about that here. Number one is, from the Mishnah, or from the way it's structured here, it sounds like the din that we're talking about is the din d'oraita, not the din d'rabbanan. Number two, he says something that's not muskam l'kol, but he says that when the Rabbanan said the cutoff is a chatzot, that was just a suggestion that you get it done by chatzot. But if you do it after chatzot, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. The Rabbanan weren't mafkir your right to do the mitzvah after chatzot. They just were making a suggestion, the chatchila, you should do it before chatzot. And that causes a person to do it earlier. That causes a person to rush and not wait all the way until alot ha-shachar. Now, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachot disagree with this Tosafot and say that the Rabbanim were mafkir, you're right. And same thing with the Primigodim in the Ticha Kolelet also says something along those lines, which is, when you have an institution to Rabbanon, does it forfeit your ability to do the din d'oraita? There he asks it a question, poses it as a question. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah say it outright there in the Gemara and Brachot, that the Chachamim said after Chatzot, you can't do Kriyat Shema. After Chatzot, can't eat the Korban. They're mafkir, you're right, because better that you do a sheva al taaseh and let the korban become notar, than you risk being over a chiyuv karet of eating the korban past the alot ha-shachar, or being makriv things after alot ha-shachar. So Tosafot over here assumes that that would not be the case, that according to Rabbi Akiva, even though there's a karaf at midrabanan and a chatzot, you still could do the korban after chatzot, and that's why it's differentiated here, even though if you could explain it to Rabbanan, it wouldn't help you, because according to him, you could still do it after chatzot. And that's why this Gemara follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, not Rabbi Akiva. But there is a distinction. When you think it's d'oraita, that chatzot is the cutoff, that means that it becomes notar at chatzot. Whereas midrabanan, it doesn't become notar until the morning, the cutoff is at chatzot. According to both of them, the sreifa doesn't happen until the morning. Even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even though it becomes notar at midnight, lo tadur minu ad boker, in the morning, then there's a chiyuv sreifa. Right now, Rava says something that has important implications for us today, which is Amar Rava, Achal matzah b'zman hazeh, achar chatzot, v'blazim ben azayah lo yatzah yedei chovato. If you eat matzah after chatzot today, then you're not yotzei your dei chovav matzah, according to v'blazim ben azayah. The equation of matzah to Pesach makes it that the matzah that you eat, you're not yotzei. Pshito. Mar says, what's the question? Came in to eat kish to Pesach and Pesach dami. Since it is compared to a Pesach, it's like a Pesach. So first of all, for the Rashbam, this is heavy support for two things. One is that there's this equation between Pesach and Matzah. And Matzah should have the same din as Pesach. That's a Hekesh. Tosafot takes this issue up when he disagrees and says that Pesach and Matzah are not exactly alike. He says this Hekesh is not absolute. And he proves it over there because the Gemara should have asked other questions then, and the fact that it doesn't shows that it's not an absolute Hekesh. That's number one. Number two is, it also seems to show that the matzah at the end of the meal has some sort of chovah to it, has some sort of obligation to it, because we're wanting you to get it done before chatzot. Now you could argue it's just zecher the korban Pesach, and that's how the other Rishonim will have to answer it, but for the Rishbam it's even sweeter, because the matzah here has the same chovah as the korban of Pesach, and that's why we're rushing to get it done before chatzot. Ma'ad b'teimah, so Gemara says, no, it's not so simple, because what I thought was, hafke kura mehekesha. The pasuk, the reason we eat matzah today is not because of our matzot to marim yachlu, but rather because of be'erev tochlu matzot. And therefore, maybe it's independent of the zman ha-pesach, kamash malon, the chiyadre kura. When the pasuk says there is an obligation of matzah, the milto kamaita adre, it brings it back into its original status, which is that it's compared to korban ha-pesach. And since it's compared to korban ha-pesach, therefore, for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, chatzot is the cutoff. Rabbi Yekiva, lot ha-shachar is the cutoff. We're choshesh. We pass them like this, and we're choshesh v'shita Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that's why we try to eat the afikoman prior to chatzot. There's the famous, as I mentioned yesterday, the famous tenai of the rugged shover, which is that if you're running late in the Seder, and you're coming up to chatzot, what you should do is stop, eat the kazayit of matzah right before chatzot, and do it al tanai, and say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what I just ate was afikoman. Then you wait till after chatzot, and you have the flavor in the mouth at chatzot. After chatzot doesn't matter anymore. You don't have to have the flavor in your mouth. Then you can go back to eating your meal. Go back to eating your meal. Then when you finish the meal later, after chatzot, you'll eat another kazayit of matzah, and say that, if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, this is my afikoman now, and I'm eating it now, at the end of the meal. This is the matzah b'achrona. And so therefore, al tanai, you don't have to worry about this chatzot issue. You can do it al tanai, and take care of the afikoman in that way. Right now, just quickly, the Mishnah said that a pigob notar mitameh tiyadayim, pigob notar mitameh tiyadayim. Avonu v'Rav Chista, we have a machloka between them. Chad amar mishum chashtei kehuna. One of them says it's because of the suspicions we have about the ulterior motives of the kohanim. Chad amar mishum atzlei kehuna. One of them says it has to do with the lazy kohanim. Chad amar kezayit, v'chad amar kebeitza. One of them says that the size here of being a metame yadayim is a kezayit, and one says it's a kebeitza. Chad tani apigo, v'chad tani anotar. So now here the Gemara limits their machloket and says they're not really arguing. Because one of them is talking about pigo, and one of them is talking about notar. The reason that you're metame yadayim by pigo is because of chashtei kehuna. Pigo, we're worried about the kohanim intentionally ruining the korban for Israel by having a machshavat pigo. And so we penalize them with the pigo to having metame yadayim. We spoke about earlier in the Masechta, that's a serious Knas for a Kohen who depends on Kodshim and Trumot to eat, and he needs Tahor Yadayim. So this is a serious issue when he has Tumata Yadayim. So therefore they assign Tumata Yadayim to him because we don't want him to ruin the Karbanot of the Yisrael. That's Chashtei Kehuna. Notar is Mishum Atzlei Kehuna. So they won't be lazy in terms of finishing up the notar. And as the Rashbam points out, the same would be true for Israel. Eat the korban, which is eaten by a regular Israel, or the balim of the korban. They too would make their yadayim tmeim because they need to finish it up. We don't want them to be lazy. They want to be expeditious in completing the consumption of the korban so there's nothing left over. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. They narrow the machloket and say, man, datani ha-pigol, mishum chashteguna. Man, datani ha-notar, mishum atzleguna. So because the pigol is for those that we suspect Kohanim of having ulterior motives in ruining the korban. The one who writes about notar is because of the laziness of the kohanim. Chadamar kezayid v'chadamar kebeitza. There they do have a machloket, and that machloket revolves around this. Mandamar kezayid, who says the Rishir is a kezayid, ki isuro. Isur notar and isur pigol is a kezayid. So just like the isur is a kezayid, so too the tumah is a kezayid. V'chadamar kebeitza. That's the size of kebeitza. Ki tumato. Like it's tumah. Meaning that tumat ochlim is only conveyed when you have a kebeitza. It can accept tuma in a kosho. Again, we've seen this machlok we've been showing before. Some say it also needs a kabeitza to accept tuma. But the assumption in the shita most be shown him is that it can accept it even in kosho. But to pass on tuma, tuma tochlim needs the size of a kabeitza. So over here, since the kenas is in the world of tuma, therefore it should take on the properties of tuma. Just like tuma cannot be conveyed with less than a kabeitza, so too there won't be tuma tiyadayim with less than a kabeitza. Okay, we'll stop over here.